And let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to experience you, to celebrate you, to receive from you. And I pray and hold up these people. I hold up this moment, this day before you, Father God. We apply the blood of Jesus to this situation and to this moment. And we thank you, Father God, that the natural moment can become a supernatural moment like that. We thank you, Father God, that you are willing and desiring. And so we open up our heart to receive what you want to do today. Your will be done, Father God. We've come to do your bidding. And so, Father, I thank you for your goodness. I speak your goodness over your people today. Your goodness over your people today. Thank you, Father, for your goodness today. Father, your grace, we thank you, Lord, in every area of their life. I thank you, Father God, that their neighbors are going to begin to notice them, that there is something different, that they are going from glory to glory, from brighter to brighter. I thank you, Father God, that they're going to notice and see your work in their life in such a way that it will draw strangers to them, Father God. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your strength. Father God, we hold up the people who show up even in the second and third service today. Bless them today, Father God. Encourage them today, Father God. Lord, we speak inheritances back into their hands. We speak broken marriages to be restored today. We speak sick bodies to be healed today. Father God, we speak those who are tormented by the enemy to be set free. We speak peace of mind. We thank you, Father God, for your rest and your wholeness in every area, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And we call you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We thank you, Father God, for without you, we could not do. We could not be anything. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace today. In our lives, we honor you. We worship you, Father God. Now just take a second to hold up one hand, if you would, and just begin to worship him your own way. We worship you, Father God. We worship you, Father God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. You are good. You are good. We love you. Thank you for your goodness. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I'm free.
I'm free.
And my past
is forgotten.
Let's say that again. Say, I'm forgiven. Come on, say it like you mean to say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I'm free.
And my past
is forgotten. We talked about that last week as one of the benefits of the new contract. You know, covenant means contract. And when Jesus died on the cross, he was establishing a new contract between God and humanity. It is not a contract that has been changed. Oh, that was back in the Bible times. What about today? Nope. That contract was a different contract than the Moses contract, the Abraham contract, you know, the Davidic, which is a David contract. God established a contract with his son for humanity, establishing a situation that will live and be, in legal terms, in perpetuity, which means it's perpetual, which means you wake up. There's not another one to look for. You can benefit, and the benefits you begin to experience are forever. Are forever. They are to take you into the realm of eternity one day when you get to heaven. And this contract is not just for a period of time. It is for eternity. Yes.
Amen.
So when you begin to experience the benefits of the contract, it's just not for today.
Right.
It's just not for a season. It's just not for... So when you begin to experience the benefit of forgiveness and God forgiving you, when the devil tries to bring it back to your future, you can say, wait a minute, in your future, wait a minute, devil, the same Jesus that forgave me before is still forgiving me, and it's forgotten, it's behind me. I'm not going back to it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to relive it. I don't have to take it with me. Lord, are you going to still forgive me today? Lord, I know you freed me from the alcoholism last year, but are you going to still do it today? No, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You don't have to worry about, is he going to change his mind? Is he going to change the terms? No, when you begin to experience the blessing of the covenant, the benefit of the contract in every area, you can rest assured once you begin to step into it, you can stay there. Because it's a contract that is perpetual, perpetuity. It keeps going. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. So when you begin to experience the financial blessing of the contract, oh, Lord, I wonder if you're going to bless me this year but not next year. No, once you are in the contract, stay in the contract.
Amen.
You're a foreign branch, but once you've been connected to the vine, stay on the vine. Stay connected. Say, stay connected. Say, stay connected. God's not going to change it. You can change it. And you don't want to change it. It's not to your benefit to change it. Some people get connected to Jesus, and then they'll change. Well, I don't think I want to do that anymore. And yes, people can be stupid. We love people, all people, even stupid people. Don't look at your neighbor. Why would anybody want to separate themselves from the vine? Why would anybody want to disconnect from what God's doing? I don't know, but the devil's a deceiver, and he can talk people out of it. He can't take you off the vine. He can't take you. He can't. If he could, he would have already killed you. He can try to talk you out of it. See, the devil was afraid of Jesus, but if he had that much power to kill, he would have killed Jesus before he got to the cross. Because he would have figured out the plan. But he didn't know. He thought he killed Jesus. And the Bible says if he had known the plan of the Father, he would have never put him on the cross, put Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. You can't outsmart God, my friend. You can't outsmart God. So once you understand the benefits of the contract, stay in the contract. Because the contract within its nature is forever. It doesn't stop. So if he healed you before, healing belongs to you. It belongs to you. See, if you ever received a healing from God and he gave you a revelation of healing, Deuteronomy 29, 29 tells us that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to you and your children, which means it's yours. The revelation is yours. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the rhema of God. So you have a sword, and anytime sickness shows up, no, I got a sword for that. And you begin to operate in your victory. And I'm thankful, let's get back on track. I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus forgives us, frees us from that sin. See, grace doesn't mean you keep living in sins. Grace means you're free from ever having to go back. There's some teachings out there, good people, they're just deceived, that are telling people that the grace of God forgives you forever, and it doesn't matter what you do after you get saved because God's already forgiven your future, and the blood of Jesus can forgive every future sin you ever do. But that doesn't mean you can go back and live in sin. Romans 6 is very clear that you can't live that way. Shall we allow the freedom that God's given us to live in sin? God forbid, Paul says. No, if you sin, you need to repent, 1 John 1:9. Oh, that's for another group. That's not for the church. Then tell Jesus in Revelation when he told every church to repent for something they weren't doing right. Don't take my word for it. We got to keep going back to the word of God and let the word of God interpret the word of God. Amen. Let the Bible define and explain the Bible instead of someone's perception and their own private interpretation that they think will make them a success. Because some people, if I get a special private interpretation that no one's heard of, it'll make me popular. It might, but if it's the wrong interpretation, it also sends you to a place you don't want to go. Say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
I'm free.
I'm free.
My past.
My past.
My past of failure.
My past of sickness.
My past of sin.
It's forgotten.
It's behind me. It's so far behind me, I didn't even know what even happened. Right. People come to you. Do you remember when we used to? No, honestly, I don't. That's the power. I'm not saying you're trying to forget. I'm saying we have to get in the church world beyond the challenge of just trying to fake it till we make it or make believe. This is not make believe Christianity. The Bible doesn't start off with once upon a time. This is not a fairy tale story. And the power of God is still the power of God, and it's real, and it's so real that it can come into your situation, your world, your life, and make a change that you know that you could never do. I mean, some people have lowered the bar so low that they'll give God credit, and praise God, I guess they're giving God some credit, but it's everything that they can do on their own. It's everything that they can do in their human ability, and there's something you got to do, but it's everything they can do in their own ability on their best efforts. And in some circles, Christianity has become nothing more than a self-help, self-improvement group. Come on. And if your improvement is all based on you, Isn't what humanism is? When you start thinking you're God and it's just about you making it happen, there's something you got to do. But I'm telling you, if it's all just you, then you're not at the level that God wants you to be. God will bless you. But some people, all their blessings are is hard work. And praise God for being disciplined and hard work. But there's another level beyond that. Where even with your hard work and dedication, that God will promote you beyond any reasonable capability of every... when you're only at the level that can be explained away... Oh, God's blessed me. No, your uncle just gave you $1 million. That's why you're blessed. Because you've been crying on his shoulder for 10 years. Have you ever noticed that in most stories, there's a backstory that they don't tell? See, I don't want to have a story that requires a backstory of me trying to manipulate something to make it happen and then act like God just dropped it in my life. No, I want to obey God and see God do what is impossible for man to do. I'm telling you, when I say that your past is forgotten, I'm telling you, you can wake up and go through the day and forgot where you came from and you're in all the sins and mistakes instead of letting the devil hold it over you, carrying that weight. That's why Romans says, there is therefore now no condemnation, no condemning sentence, no burner weight. See, if you're a child of God, you don't need to be waking up living with, thank you for forgiving me, but I'll always be a servant. Come on. That was what the prodigal son came back and he said, Father, I have sinned and I don't deserve to be your son. I'll be a servant if you accept me back. I am so sorry. And most Christians are trying to live as a servant mentality with their heavenly father because the enemy has convinced them that they don't deserve it. Let me help you out. You don't deserve it. That's the goodness of his grace. That's the goodness of his grace. You don't deserve it, but he loves you so much. If you let him, he'll pick you up, clean you up, redress you, put authority ring on back your head, put some shoes on your feet. And when you walk into your next place, they won't even know where you came out of. When you walk into a room of people that never met you, you don't need them to identify you by the past of your failures. You need to walk in the room just like the prodigal son. He walked into a room and no one could tell anymore where he had come from. No one knew he was living with the pigs. No one knew he was starving. No one knew he was just hoping even to eat the slime. No, they didn't know that. All they could see is the benefits of the Father on his life. I want when you walk into a place, people only see the benefits of the Father in your life. You're not somebody who's been addicted to depressive medicine. No! You walk in with the joy of the Lord. They don't see where you've been. They just see the benefits of the Father in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm trying to get to our notes, but I can't even get to our notes yet. I'm telling you, they don't need to know where you've been because that's been dealt with. They just need to see the benefits of the Father. He's got good plans for you. He's got good plans for you. Say, thank you, Father, for your goodness. Say, Jesus, let everybody see the benefits of the Father in my life when I walk into a room. Hallelujah. I mean, people, they're thinking, oh, you need to take this. You need to do that. You need to come out with us Friday. We'll go party and we'll get so smashed, help you forget all those problems. I don't need that stuff. Amen. You do look a little more calm and peaceful today. What's going on? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I speak that over your life. I'm telling you, this week you're gonna have some of you, not everybody, because not everybody gets it, not everybody wants it, not everybody will receive it. But that's between you and Jesus. We love you anyway. But those who want to, I'm telling you, this week. You're going to walk into a place and you're going to get a conversation and they're going to notice the benefits of the goodness of your Heavenly Father on your life in Jesus' name. And it doesn't have to be people you know, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go up and say, hey, do you see anything different? No, you don't do that. Don't be doing that. Don't try to tempt God. No, I'm telling you, you'll have strangers walking up and say, I've been noticing there's something different. I got to ask you. Because when you're forgiven and free, and your past is forgotten, the word for today is, let's start dreaming again.
Amen.
Let's begin thinking about the future.
Yeah.
Because some of us have been only thinking about the past. We've been dragging that weight. And that weight's been so heavy, you can't even walk carrying it anymore. That's why the Bible says, lay aside the sins and the weights that so easily beset us and run the race that God sets before you. Because some of us, when the weight's been so heavy, we've had to turn and kind of walk backwards. Have you ever had a weight survey and you're trying to walk backwards now? And all you're seeing is where you've been in your weight. No, you're free from that. Now let's begin to run the race that's set before us. Let's run the race that God reveals to us. Hebrews 12 tells us. Let's begin to do what God, let's begin to dream again.
Amen.
Let's begin to start setting our expectations, our goals again. Let's begin to start living life again.
Yeah.
He sets you free.
Amen.
Remember that the blood of Jesus purges your evil conscience of dead works so that you, he just didn't set you free so you stand there and say, "Ooh, it's so good to be free now." I mean, you were here in bondage. He sets you free. You move over 1 inch and say, "Ooh, I'm so glad I'm not there."
Come on.
Some of you have been camping out there. You wanted out of Egypt, but you don't want to move too far away from Egypt.
Camping
out right outside the doors of Egypt. You don't want to do that. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I'm free. I'm glad I'm not right there. Oh, thank you, Jesus. No. He sets you free. Purges the very remembrance.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
You might have to lose some friends.
Right.
I know we don't like to hear that because nobody wants to be without friends, but God will always can bring the right friends into your life.
Amen.
You might have to lose some friends. Love them, wave them goodbye, be
right.
Praying for them. Because
right.
Some friends aren't going to like you being free.
Right.
You would think people would celebrate your victories, but not everybody celebrates your victories. Some get offended at your advancements. And they don't feel good about themselves unless they can pull you back down into the pit.
Come on.
Why? I don't know. That's human nature. John 2, Jesus, it says that Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in humanity. Sometimes some of you have been putting too much faith in people and not near enough faith in God. Are you listening? You might need to lose that boyfriend or girlfriend. But I don't want to be alone. Listen, you might be lonely for a little bit, but you got to get to a place where you can be alone without being lonely. You're putting too much faith in people. You start thinking that he or she, based on what gender, and there should be no confusion about that. He or she, if I don't have a guy in my life, I'm so miserable. No, you're miserable, and he's just clouding it. He's not making it better. Jesus will make it better.
Come on.
You say, why do I find losers? Because you didn't deal with the first one correctly. You could be alone without being lonely because two halves don't make a whole when it comes to relationships. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, I'm leaving for a woman of God. Then become a man of God because a woman of God wouldn't want to mess your deal with. Okay, I didn't mess with something. All right. He set us free not to stay 6 inches outside the camp, but to move forward and begin dreaming, begin living, begin to serve him. And he's got great plans for you.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29 tells us he's got great plans for you. He's not hiding it. He's got great plans for you. Jeremiah 33:3, look at the screen, says this. For I know, look, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. God, what's my future like? You're trying to figure it out by your surroundings. Your future's not defined by your surroundings.
Right.
Start looking up to heaven. Let him show you who you are and where you're supposed to go. Call on me and I'll show you. I know you don't. That's why you need to ask. You have not because you ask not. You need to ask. You need to say, God, I'm going to begin to serve you, seek you, live for you, and I need you to just show me. I'll do it.
Amen.
Jesus said to his disciples, follow me. He didn't say, here's the map to the 12 places we're going. He said, follow me.
Right.
You don't need to know everything.
Right.
When you're walking with Jesus, it's step by step, baby. It's not a whole mile plan here. We want the 12. We want the whole thing broken down, turn left, turn right, go here, stop here, do this, do that. And we'll get all frustrated because God didn't download the whole plan. If you start doing that, you'll begin worshiping the plan. You don't need to worship the plan. You need to worship the planner. You follow him. Walk it out. Walk it out. New Testament. Walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. It's step by step. All you have to know is him, and he'll walk it through.
Amen.
Some of us have stopped dreaming. We need to start dreaming again. I was leaving the office the other day, and we have a daycare throughout the week. And as I was leaving, going to my car, I noticed up on the playground at the basketball court, there was about 5 or 6 little kids playing basketball. And they were dribbling, and they were jumping and shooting, and they were high-fiving. But the only problem was, they didn't have a basketball. Now, my first gut reaction is somebody get those kids a basketball, right? But they were so little that if you gave them a basketball, they probably couldn't dribble or shoot. But they were having a great time playing against each other and playing basketball. It was all in their imagination. They were just dreaming up a good game. They were shooting and dribbling. I mean, going through the whole thing. And then what got my attention as I was pulling away is there was one little girl playing with them, and she kept saying, pass me the ball. Pass me the ball. Pass me the ball. So after I got past the, oh, someone should give them a ball, oh, they probably couldn't do it, I thought, it's dream basketball, right? It's all in their imagination right now, right? They're just dreaming it. Why don't she dream herself up a basketball? Right? I mean, one second to say, I got a basketball too. Woo, watch this. What's up with that? I mean, you can play the whole thing up, right? They're dreaming. And she wasn't playing like everybody else because she was waiting for somebody to pass her the imaginary basketball. Who have you empowered to hold your dreams?
Come on.
Who have you empowered? And we can go through life saying, let me try, let me try, let me try. What are you waiting on somebody else to give you permission? Why do you allow people to define and hold the potential of your greatness? Why do you allow people to define if you should have a turn? Dream yourself up a basketball and go dunk over somebody. Right? Have you ever noticed dreaming don't cost? But dreaming helps. Oh, they teach us in school, stop dreaming, but God says, let me show you how to dream. I mean, when he spoke to Joseph, it was of such nature. It was a dream that was so big. He had to share it. He shared it with too many people, by the way. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Not everybody's going to get what God's doing in your life. You don't have to tell everybody. He told his brothers. They didn't like it. You would think your brothers and people close to you would like it, but they didn't like it. But they would see him coming. And we see in Genesis, it says, here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. I'm telling you, you need to be a dreamer. Because when you begin to see it based on your ability, you'll be like Abraham who lived in a tent, and God shows up and says, I'm your exceeding great reward. And he says, what's the deal to give me a reward seeing I go childless? And the Bible tells us that God said, come on, Abraham, and brought him out abroad to a bigger place and said, now look up. Yeah. See, when you're looking at your abilities, you're going to be defined of what's the hope? What's the big deal? Why should I try? When you begin to see the way God sees it, you're going to be overwhelmed with, God, that's too big. I know it's too big for you, but let me start working with you. Because what I want to do with you is so great. That's why the Bible tells us, we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's why the Bible says, look at this. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has, past tense, prepared for those. I know it's good to be forgiven, and we could spend the rest of our lives thanking God for for forgiving us of our sins, helping us escape hell, taking us to heaven, helping us to be forgiven and the past forgotten. But I'm telling you, God says, that's good, but that's not all I have for you. My grace abounds way more, which means I want to bring you to a level of living beyond your best. I want you to begin to dream that I have stuff for you that your imagination can't even grasp. Dream big in the name of Jesus. Dream big in the name of Jesus. And God will begin to show you the clarity of how he wants you to dream. Some people stop dreaming. God can't work with that. He's got to get you out there to start dreaming. Abraham, you'll never understand the infinite of the number of children I want you to have that come from you that will be so many you can't even number. So I need to get you to see something. So look at the stars. That's just an example of where I'm taking you. I decree over your life that starting this day, you're going to start dreaming again. That the anointing to dream the visions of God, the dreams of God, the ideas of God will start hitting your life, that you'll begin to wake up. Sometimes it'll be while you're sleeping. Sometimes throughout the day, you'll begin to see tomorrow's going to be better than my yesterday.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I want you to notice, dreaming is a key element because we receive through faith and patience, the Bible says, from God. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is a substance of things hoped for. Hope is a future tense of something beyond where I'm at, the evidence of things not seen, which means not seen in the moment. If I have to look around in the moment of what I see in the natural to define my supernatural destiny will never be big enough. God says, I don't want you to look at the materials you have to play with to define and build your future. I want you to look at me because I want you to see what you cannot see in the natural. Faith is just not what you cannot see ever. It's what you don't see in the natural because you have to see something. Because later in Hebrews 11, let's look at this verse. We see that they saw afar off. These all died in faith, verse 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. There's a vision that God wants to give you that so exceeds your natural vision. Your feet will never walk where your eyes have not seen. There is a place God wants to take you where you begin to see what other people can't see.
Right.
But God is showing you.
Yeah.
He reveals them by his spirit. He begins to show you that your tomorrows are much better than your even your today's.
Amen.
Well, I don't see. It's never happened for me. It's never happened for my family. Well, you could be the groundbreaking,
That's
brand
right.
new first one in your family tree.
Right.
To implement the word of God that brings such a change that people notice. And when you begin to dream, when you begin to see what God is showing you that other people can't see, there's three benefits. Are you ready for three benefits?
Yeah. Yeah.
Number one, we see in this verse, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them. Say persuaded.
Persuaded.
Say persuaded.
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 I'm telling you, when you begin to receive what God has for you, it's going to inspire you.
Yeah.
God will begin to give you a vision that inspires you to act.
Yes.
You'll be so motivated. People are like, why are you so motivated to do that? Because God, you have been fully persuaded. Romans 4 says that Abraham was fully persuaded
yes.
that the God who made the promise was well able to make it happen.
Yes.
You become persuaded. You get excited about your hopes and your future and your tomorrow.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm getting excited.
I'm excited.
I'm being persuaded.
My
tomorrow. It's so much brighter.
See, doesn't
Proverbs 4 say that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter and brighter?
Yeah.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Don't take my word for it. Challenge it.
Yeah.
I challenge you to challenge it. Because when you dig deeper, you're going to grow stronger.
Amen.
They were persuaded. Notice this. They embraced it. Some of us hide it. Some of us put it away. Oh, that won't happen to me. Some of us will laugh. We see that in the Bible. The God will say something and people will scoff and laugh. The prophet said, this day tomorrow, bread's going to be cheap. We're going to have abundance. And the guy laughed and said, it'll never happen. And the prophet turned and said, for you, God says, it will not. You will not see it.
Yeah.
Or you, excuse me, I take it back. You will see it, but you will not enjoy it.
Yeah.
Some people see it, but don't enjoy it.
Right.
Because they're not embracing it. They're laughing at it.
Right.
And the Bible says that when they had abundance which showed up because the enemy that had surrounded them was starving them, got scared because of what God was doing, and they fled. And remember, the lepers show up and they go and tell everybody, and the people are so excited, and the guy who scoffed decided he'd be the gatekeeper. Can you imagine being the traffic control police officer for the crowd, a city who's been starving, and you say, through this gate is more food you can eat, but let me get everybody to line up one at a time. And the Bible says they ran him over. He saw it but did not enjoy it. See, you got to embrace what God is doing. You got to take it into your heart. That's the Matthew 13. The person who hears it is not the one who benefits. The person who hears it and receives it. You got to bring it into your life. Lord, I'm going to receive it. I believe it. And you show me what to do and I'll obey it. Lord, I receive it. I believe it. And you show me what to do and I'll obey it. Lord, I believe it. I'm receiving it. You show me what to do and I'll obey. And if you obey, he told Martha and Mary, if you believe and obey, you will see the glory of God. Now get rid of the stone. He smells. Didn't I tell you? If you believe, you will see. Move away the stone. Let's do it. Because when you embrace it, you're receiving it, you're believing it, but you'll also obey him. And James says, faith without works, which is obedience to what he shows you to do, is dead, which means does not produce change. They were persuaded, they embraced them, and they confessed, we're out of time, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know what? I like to say it this way. They spoke and confessed anew that where they were at today was not who they were. Don't judge me by who I am based on where I am, because where I am is not going to define who I am. My who I am is totally different. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim to the situation that I'm in. The problem I'm dealing with does not define me. The area I'm dealing with, the income level I'm at, does not define me. No, don't look at my surrounding right now, my temporary, for the Bible says that the temporary is subject to change. It will change, but the eternal, the word of God, does not change. It lasts forever and ever. And stand up when you begin to catch the vision of God and say, I know it doesn't look good, but this is not me. This is not the end of it. I'm going somewhere. Look at 2-3 people, say, I'm going somewhere. This is not the end for me. This is not the last chapter. This is not the summary note. This is not, if you get a summary one day of your life, and this is not where it's going to end. You are temporary here, but you will be permanently somewhere else. This is not who you are. This is where you're at in the moment. I'm just a pilgrim, which means I'm not setting up to stay here long. I'm planning on going somewhere. I'm planning to take a step out of this. I know one day, as soon as I came in, I'm also going to be coming out. Did you hear me? They were persuaded, they embraced, and they confessed where they were at is not the final place they were staying. They had some place to go. Ooh, start dreaming again in the name of Jesus. Dream yourself up a good basketball. Dream yourself up a big shot. Dream yourself up the winning shot. Start dreaming yourself. Don't let other people control you. That's dysfunctional. Well, you'll never do it. Well, that's what they said. Prove them wrong. Come on. It'll never happen. Well, that's their opinion. Prove them wrong. Can you imagine Jesus walking and ministering on his life while he was on the earth and having to work with the approval of the Sadducees and Pharisees? You don't have a right to do that. Oh, I'm sorry. I won't cast out demons again. I'm sorry. No. When you know the plan of God, the approval of God, you don't need the approval of people. You don't have to say, pass me the ball. I'll get my own ball. I love you, but I don't need you to make me get to where I'm going. And if that offends you, maybe you need a reality check that you're not Jesus. And if God be for you, if God be for you, sometimes you got to stir yourself up and say, wait a minute, if God be for me, I'm feeling bad, but that's emotions, they'll change. If God be for me, it's looking bad, but that's going to change. If God be for me, who can be against me? How dare you start making a list? Who's against you? Start making a list who's for you. Put up there Jesus and leave it at that. Period. End of story. No more questions. Not to go any farther. All I need, there it is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus.